Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our sermon this evening is No Room in Richmond, based on John chapter 1, verses 11 to 12. Listen carefully to these verses. You'll hear them again. Jesus came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. As is my custom, I have prepared a special story sermon for Christmas. It is not based on fact, but it's related to our congregation. I pray the Lord would bring the message to your hearts. It was a Sunday the week before Christmas, and the pastor stood on the steps of the chancel and faced the congregation at the end of the worship service. It was time for him to speak the final benediction, the blessing given at the end of the service. "The Lord bless you and keep you," he said as he raised his right hand. He had done this so many, many times. He wondered how many hundreds of times that blessing had been spoken from this very place. "The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you." Huh. Who was that young man sitting back in the corner all by himself? Maybe he was a relative of a member who came at Christmas time and he came back for a visit for the holidays. "The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace." The organist then introduced the final hymn with chords that were strong enough to shake the stained glass windows. Oh, she really knew how to make that organ sing, which in turn inspired the worshipers to join in with gusto on the final hymn. After the last stanza of the hymn was sung, the pastor walked down the center aisle to greet the people in the congregation. He had been at this church now at Richmond for about 5.5 years, and by now he knew all their names. He had baptized them, confirmed them, married, and even buried many of their loved ones. He had visited many of their homes as well, and as they did every Sunday, they stood at the back door to shake his hand and thank him for the message. The organist stopped playing and everybody else exited the building except for that young man. He came out of the back pew all alone when everybody else was gone to greet the pastor. He was probably in his middle 30s. His wavy brown hair looked like he hadn't even combed it that day. He wore a dark brown suit, corduroy pants. They were both frayed at the edges. "Morning," he said, in almost a quiet, brooding voice. That was a helpful sermon. That was all he said, and the pastor thanked him as the young man walked away. And the pastor thought to himself, "You know, I wonder what his story is." 2 hours later, the pastor and his wife were eating their Sunday lunch in his church office. They packed a meal to eat together because they didn't have time to go home before another appointment at a local nursing home. "Honey," said the pastor's wife, "there's still someone sitting in their car at the edge of the church parking lot over by the back fence. You better check it out." "Are you sure?" he asked, pulling the white collar out of his neck so he could breathe a little bit and get comfortable. He looked out the window, and sure enough, there was someone sitting by themselves in an older model car. "Guess I better go check it out," said the pastor. When the pastor reached the car, it had just started up. The pastor tapped on the driver's side window, and the window rolled down, and inside the car, you guessed it, was the young man he had met earlier. The pastor spoke, "You know, church let out 2 hours ago. I was surprised to still see you here." "Well," the young man said, "this is where my father used to park his car Sunday after Sunday for many years. I came here from a town a couple hours away to go to church, and then to think about my father. The pastor replied, "Well, I imagine if you drove 2 hours to get her and you got 2 hours to go back, I imagine you're hungry. How about joining me and my wife for something to eat? Nothing fancy, but we've got plenty." A small smile from the stranger and a nod of his head signaled that the invitation was accepted. As he got out of his car, he extended his hand and said, "Pastor, my name's Gabe. Gabe Erdman." The pastor headed to the church office, and Gabe paused to ask, "Hey, aren't we going to the parsonage where your wife is?" The pastor explained that they didn't live there. Someone else lived there now. It was a rental house. It had been for quite a few years. They came to the office, and they were greeted by a beautiful, smiling wife who had already set a place for the newcomer to eat a meal. After the meal, and a second cup of strong church coffee that was left over, Gabe spoke. "I used to go over to that parsonage quite a bit when I was young. I was good buddies with the pastor's son. I think his name was Ben. Boy, we used to have some fun times. Used to play in the woods just south of the church building. Lots of woods there, well, before the apartment buildings were built. We'd hide from our Sunday school teachers. We'd hide from our vacation Bible school teachers and our parents. A lot of goofing around. Nothing bad, just good old-fashioned fun." Gabe suddenly seemed to be transported to a much happier time in his life, and his eyes shone with a brightness that lit up his face. "You come into Richmond very often?" asked the pastor's wife. "Don't think I've seen you in almost the 6 years we've been here." Suddenly, Gabe's expression changed, and the brightness evaporated. "I haven't been back here since before my father died, almost 10 years ago. Let's put it this way. I wasn't welcome back here. I could have come, but I didn't want to upset the folks at the church. Kind of felt like what the Bible said about Jesus. Pastor, I'm sure you remember the passage. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him." "Since before your father died?" asked the pastor. "Wasn't his funeral here?" "Oh, it was here all right," said Gabe. "The place was packed, but I felt that there was no room for me in Richmond or in this church, so I stayed away." Pastor could sense a mixture of bitterness and also hurt in Gabe's voice. After an awkward silence, Gabe said, "Well, Pastor, thanks for the lunch. I guess I better get my way home. It's 2 hours from here, you know." Gabe stood up to leave, but he stopped before he got to the outside door, and the expression on his face said he hoped the answer to his upcoming question would be yes. He said quietly, "One more thing, Pastor. I've been thinking. I'd like to come back for the service on Christmas Eve, for the candlelight service. Would that be okay?" The pastor just sighed. Since when would anybody ever have to ask permission to come to worship? "Well, of course, Gabe. Why not?" "Well, good. I'll be there. Do they still have it at 11 o'clock and end up around 12 like they always did?" Pastor nodded. "I figured it'd be the same," said Gabe. "Nothing ever changes around that place." The car pulled out from the parking lot, and the pastor's wife said, "Honey, there's a lot more to that young man than meets the eye. I'm glad you didn't try to get him to tell us any more. He just needs to be loved, and he needs to be welcomed. You know, the Bible verse he quoted about Jesus has an awful lot to say about himself. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him." Well, the next day was Monday, the pastor's day off. Woohoo! But the next day was Tuesday. And on Tuesday morning, the pastor checked the old funeral records. "Yep," he said, muttering to himself, "there it is. Peter Erdman, funeral, 10 years ago next month. The week quickly filled with appointments and all the Christmas services and sermons to prepare. And though he worked ahead, as was his custom, something in the back of his mind and back of his heart told him he was likely going to have to change the sermon for the Christmas Eve service at 11 o'clock that night. As he sat at his desk with his eyes closed, thinking what he was going to do, a knock came to his door. "Greetings, Pastor. Did I catch you napping?" Oh, it was old Bob Lewis, a longtime member of the church, a man who probably held every office in the church from church elder to kitchen duty. "Nope, not napping this time, Bob," said the pastor. "But let me ask you, can you tell me something about Gabe Erdman?" Bob's face turned sober, and then he frowned. "You know, I thought that was him sitting in the back of the church last Sunday. I seen him come in. A bunch of other folks seen him too." Pastor said, "Yes, it was Gabe Erdman. You know, and he made a strange comment to me. He said he wasn't welcome here. Is that so?" Bob nodded gravely. "Yep, that's so." "How many in this congregation feel that way?" "Well, pretty near to everyone who's been here for the last 10 or 20 years," said Bob Lewis. With all the patience he could mutter, the pastor asked, "Just tell me, Bob, why is that?" Bob replied firmly, "I guess we better just let sleeping dogs lie. Just don't dig up old heartaches." "But Bob, he plans to come back for the candlelight service." Bob frowned. "Wish he wouldn't." A couple of more days passed, and Bob came to the pastor's office again. "Pastor, I'm getting a lot of heat from a lot of people. They don't want Gabe Erdman back here on Christmas Eve. Guess we can't do nothing if he comes, but well, it'd be better if he didn't." The pastor spoke quietly, but firmly. "Bob, you tell me what happened with Gabe Erdman. Tell me all of it. It was well before my time, but I have to know." Reluctantly and haltingly, Bob Lewis told the story. Gabe had gone off to university to study architecture. As an only child, he was his father's pride and joy. Sunday after Sunday, old Peter Erdman just loved telling anybody who would listen to him about the great grades Gabe was getting in university. He was proud his boy had a great future ahead of him. Peter Erdman wasn't an educated man. He had done pretty well as a farmer. He had a big crop. But he sold his farm years ago and he settled into Richmond. He had been a widower for a dozen years before Gabe even went off to university. In his retirement years, old Peter Erdman remained a faithful and giving member of the congregation. He gave generously of his time and of his finances to support the church. Later, it was learned that in his will, he even gave a big chunk of his will to help build a new church. Peter hoped that Gabe would marry a nice girl, settle down, and give him a room full of grandchildren to spoil. Boy, can I relate. But instead, Gabe got involved with a disreputable girl from the university. A girl who was said to have slept with half the varsity football team. Gabe still married her, hoping he could reform her. And Gabe, not wanting to hurt his father, tried to keep the details a secret. Even tried to keep the marriage a secret. But 6 months later, she dumped him. Took him for all he was worth. Had a fast abortion. And was soon back to her old ways. When old Peter Erdman heard the details, it was just too much for him. He had a heart attack. And he died in his living room house on Christmas Eve. The congregation blamed Gabe for his father's untimely death, and they were pretty doggone angry about the whole mess. The boy, it was said, didn't even show up for the funeral. For the last 10 years, no one had even seen him until last Sunday. What a shame. What a terrible thing Gabe did, said Bob Lewis. Would you want him back here, Pastor? With that, Bob turned around and left the pastor's office. The week flew by, and soon it was 11 o'clock at night on Christmas Eve. Time for the candlelight service. The tree was bright with lights. The worship service time came, and it was time for the sermon. The pastor stepped into the pulpit and said, "There's been a last-minute change in my sermon." The Bible passage for tonight's message is this, John 1, 11 to 12. "He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, he came the right to become the children of God." He looked out at the congregation. He couldn't see if Gabe Erdman was here. At least he wasn't sitting in the back where he was last Sunday. If he were there, what kind of welcome would he receive? At that exact moment, the pastor saw Gabe Erdman quietly seat himself way in the back row, all by himself. And he began the sermon. Jesus came to his own people, but he wasn't welcome. They did not receive him with open arms. Even St. Luke in his gospel says in chapter 2, verse 7, when Jesus was born to Mary and Joseph, there was no room for him in the inn. Peter didn't want him. People didn't want him there. He was God's gift to them, the promised Savior, the one who John the Baptist would soon declare, "He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He was God's precious Son. But he wasn't welcomed by many because by his coming to them, he reminded them that they were sinners and they needed to repent and they needed God's forgiveness. But there was hope. Our sermon text goes on, "But as many who did receive him, he gave the right to become the children of God." Those who welcomed and received him had their sins forgiven and were declared to be God's own precious children for all eternity. What a blessing arrived that first Christmas Eve in the flesh and blood of a special son. "Well, tonight," said the pastor, "tonight Jesus, the Son of God, is here in this place. He's promised where he said he would be, wherever his people gathered. And he has brought with him tonight the gift of another special son, a son of this congregation whose presence reminds us that we are all sinners in need of God's forgiveness, that we have need for a Savior, that we have room for him in Richmond. We have room for him in this church. With this special son also comes blessings from God for anyone who would welcome and receive him. And this special son's name is Gabe Erdman." As soon as this pastor spoke that name, an audible gasp came from the congregation. The pastor concluded his sermon with a prayer to end probably the shortest Christmas sermon in the history of that church. He prayed, "Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, in this Christmas season, we pause to thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus, to be our Savior. Thank you also for bringing back home to us your special son and our brother, Gabe Erdman. Is there room for Gabe here? Please show us. Amen." The pastor was trembling as he left the pulpit and went to the altar. He had to light the first candle to hand to the usher so he could light all the candles that were being held by the people in the pews. When the pastor turned around, who was there? It was Bob Lewis. He was the head usher that night. Bob took the lit candle. But instead of beginning in the front of the church, as had been done in that church for decades, Bob walked to the very back, all the way to the back pew. And the first candle he lit was the candle held by Gabe Erdman. By this time, Bob was crying, and everybody in the church heard him. And after lighting his candle, Bob then hugged Gabe. Then all the other candles were lit. The overhead lights were turned off, and right on cue, the organist began to play the final hymn, Silent Night, Holy Night. The final hymn sung in that church for years after years after years. The favorite Christmas hymn, by the way, of Gabe's father, old Peter Erdman. Blessed Christmas to you, 2012. In the name of Jesus, amen.